We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Grinders, welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're gonna follow me on Twitter. It's Wednesday, December 27th. We'll be taking a first look at the Sunday week NFL, week 17 NFL slate. We're almost done. Two more weeks of regular season NFL, then we're on to the playoffs, and we'll be talking about that also. Maybe some NHL today, maybe towards the end. Hit that thumbs up button on your way in the door. Give me those thummy thumbs. I will shake my thumbs at you until you press that thumbs up button. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. Join with me, Tim Buell. You're all over the place. You're on NBA shows. You're on NFL shows. We got NHL. We got a huge NHL slate tonight because basically yesterday it felt like everyone just took off. Like there was some NBA stuff. But yesterday there was soccer. I played soccer yesterday. There's some soccer this afternoon. We got projections for that if you want to play the three game slate for EPL at 2:30. But Tim, we got a football slate. 13 games because there's no Monday night football. Yeah. There's a Thursday game, a Saturday game. We're just gonna basically take a I've literally an hour ago just opened it up and we got a ton of Q tags.
Ton of Q tags. Huge slate. We did get some news just now that Brissett's going to start for Sam Howell. So you can take Howell right out of the equation. So it's going to be Brissett. Taylor is going to be starting for the Giants. I think we had that projected already. It's definitely a big slate, some big favorites. And it's going to be, I don't know, this is a pretty tough slate, I have a feeling, because it's going to be, there's some really high totals with some really high spreads, and I think there's some trap spots, but, you know, that's just my first instinct, I guess.
Right. We take a look at the first look, which is a free article. Notorious puts it out, NFL DFS First Look, Week 17. You can find that on rotogrinders.com. It'll show you, DVOA. It'll show you a whole bunch of, little stats, whatever, but just take a look, especially at the current, betting lines. We have San Francisco 49ers with a 31 implied team total over the Commanders. We have, what's the next highest? We got the Eagles, 29.3 against the Cardinals. And then it kind of drops off a bit from there. We got the Chiefs with 25. We got the Ravens with 25. Yeah. Right? The Colts, 23. Bucks, 22. And it kind of comes down from there. The Rams, 24. Bills, 26. So, especially with it being a large slate, 13-game slate, or 12-game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-game slate.
It's 13, yeah.
I'm assuming the scores are going to be pretty high. We take a look at the Q tags, though. Good luck. Don't build your lineups now. I think the top thing right now, is there anyone active? Who else is on the Chiefs that could run the ball? Because isn't like, because I believe we don't have Pacheco in, right? He's going to be out, right?
We don't have Pacheco
in. Because, I mean, we have LaMichael Perine, Denerick Prince. I mean, like, some of these guys. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 5,300 with Kansas City at home with a 25.75 implied team total. I mean, is he out? Does he not see 80%+ of the work here? I know we're not a big fan of playing CEH. You know, the goal line stuff is always weird with the Chiefs.
That was what I was going to say, is that the goal line stuff with them is always so unpredictable. It kind of like hurts his TD equity, I would assume. But 5,300 is like such a good tag. But man, do I hate playing him. Like, I play 1 to 3 lineups every Sunday, and I hate clicking his name. If I was playing like multiple teams, sure, I would absolutely have exposure.
Well, the other guy that you hate clicking his name is Ezekiel Elliott. He's 6K. I mean, we're just taking a look at our current projected value. Right, these are our initial projections, and this includes all the Q players are in. So once we start taking these Q players out, it depends on how much value is going to be on the slate. I feel so much more comfortable playing CEH for the Chiefs with nearly a 26 implied team total than playing Ezekiel Elliott with nearly the entire backfield to himself for a Patriots team that I believe has the lowest total on the entire board at 14.5. I mean, good luck with that. I mean, on a 13-game slate, I'm really not in the business of playing 6K running backs that don't that when they hit their ceiling, it's through touchdowns. And I'm not sure if the Patriots are going to score any touchdowns.
Yeah, we currently have CEH projected for, I mean, this will change. They will, you know, update this stuff, but we have him projected for 14 rush attempts and 5 targets, 62 rush yards and 33 receiving yards. And at 5.2 or 5.3, whatever he is, that stands out as an extremely strong play. This should be a game. I mean, I know that you and I, we don't like to talk like narratives, like we want to go by the math, you know. But I really think that like KC was extremely embarrassed last week, and they're gonna be playing, you know, playing for the blood here and like destroy the Bengals. So I know I can't quantify that. I also am not clear on what CEH's ownership is gonna be. If he's going to be like mega uber chalk, maybe I'll reconsider my position. But, you know, if you're a cash game player, he's definitely going to be in the, you know, cash game consideration. If he's going to get like super bloated for ownership, maybe we can look in other directions for large field GPPs. But I think the Chiefs absolutely roll the Bengals in this game.
Well, let's take a look at all these Q tags, because this is where the value would come from. Right, by multiple of these guys being out, we take a look. I mean, look, we have a ton of lists. We have a whole ton. Obviously, the quarterback position is going to affect more of the wide receivers in their efficiency, but not necessarily opportunity. So I believe I just saw that CJ Stroud is going to practice this week. So I mean, we have all these guys in our projections. We have Purdy in, we have Stroud in, we have Levis in, we have Lawrence in. Lawrence looked awful, but we have all these guys in. I'm not sure how much this is going to affect. I mean, we take a look, Houston. I mean, the Titans, 19.5 implied team total, right? Houston, 23. I mean, maybe the Stroud one may affect it a little bit more. Maybe the Lawrence one may be affected a little, obviously Purdy, but I don't think, I mean, we could have that whole conversation of if he's an MVP candidate or is Sam Darnold good enough as it is.
Not anymore. Not anymore. He's not. I can tell you that. Not after that game against Baltimore.
But these quarterbacks we got here, running backs, though, I mean, we got Josh Jacobs.
I think he comes back,
but I mean, you got Zamir White that I don't know what his price is, but not a big fan of Raiders players in general. Then we got the key thing here is what's going to happen with Washington. They have a low implied. I mean, they're probably going to get rolled by the 49ers.
Yep.
But you tell me that Rodriguez and Robinson are out. Like, how do you not play Antonio Gibson?
Right. I agree. because Antonio Gibson is good at, you know, for the, you know, dump offs. So Brissett will probably love to dump the ball off. So Gibson is in a prime position to handle that situation. I really like Josh Jacobs this week if he plays. He's only 6,200, I think. And, you know, the Colts play at like one of the fastest, if not the fastest pace in the whole NFL. So we've seen how they don't really want to utilize Aiden O'Connell in any capacity. So if Jacobs is like a full go, I absolutely love him at 6,200.
Right. We saw the last game. He had zero pass completions for three quarters.
Right.
And they won the game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're just going to pound the ball. So, I mean, if Jacobs is a full go, he's going to take that Zamir White role. And that's going to be Jacobs' role. And we know Jacobs is a far better running back than White. So I really like Jacobs really stood out to me. And I was looking at the running back position. So I think that game kind of has a little bit of like sneaky appeal just because it's, you know, it's in Indiana. The Colts play super fast. It seems pretty affordable too. So I really like the Raiders rushing attack and then run it back with maybe a Colts wide receiver or something like that.
Right. And we don't know about them either. So we'll get to that.
Right.
On the Colts side of the ball with the running backs, this seems like, I mean, I'm making kind of a joke here that if Zach Moss plays, because he has a Q tag, this is when we get Jonathan Taylor 2 touchdowns on nine touches, right? When right. Zach Moss is out, everyone plays Jonathan Taylor and he gets like 10 fantasy points. And then Zach Moss will be in. Zach Moss will still get half the carries, but Jonathan Taylor on like 9 touches will still score 2 touchdowns and have, you know, an 80-yard run or something like that. Obviously, I'm joking a bit that if Moss is out again, I don't mind playing Taylor, but it doesn't seem like the Colts are looking to ride any running back at all, regardless of who it. If you told me that Taylor was out, like they still they've been playing Sermon and these other guys, so I'm not necessarily sure that I care. I mean, I'm not necessarily sure I care whether or not Zach Moss is in or not. I'm not sure if I'm going to play Jonathan Taylor regardless.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Then at the wide receiver position, like I mentioned before, Michael Pittman Jr. is questionable. Obviously, if he's out, I mean, the prices on the other Colts receivers have gotten up. That like Josh Downs isn't like a value anymore, right? So I saw some people try to play DJ Montgomery last week. That didn't work out.
I was one of those people.
He scored like 1.8 points or something, right?
Yeah, I missed every single contest by 0.2 to 2 points with Mr. Montgomery on my team.
Who got all the targets then on the Colts?
Pierce got 7. And then the other guy I wanted to talk about real quick is Kylan Granson, who's dirt cheap. He got 7 targets also. And then Montgomery had his 4 targets for 1.8 fantasy points. So Downs got all the targets. Downs got 9 targets, 6 receptions, but only went for 39 yards. So he's not exactly like a high A dot guy.
Okay, talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars like we've been before, we have Zay Jones, questionable tag. I'm not sure how much of that is going to matter that much. I mean, if you want, typically I'm targeting Ridley and Ingram on Jacksonville as it is. And I'm not exactly sure if Lawrence or Beathard matters on who's the quarterback, because Lawrence looked awful last week. But Jacksonville does throw the ball. They're facing Carolina. I mean, they're going to be like a touchdown favorite. I mean, would you be shocked if they ran over the Panthers at home? I wouldn't be shocked, but like, I prefer Zay Jones to be out, because I don't know how much wide receiver chalks so far there's going to be on this week. Because we have like someone like Keenan Allen at 7,800. They're going into Denver. The Chargers look awful. They have a 16.5 implied team total, right? They don't got a starting. They don't really have a quarterback. I mean, we see here with him projected in, he has one of the worst like RGVs, right? The salary adjusted values I've almost ever seen for like a wide receiver over like 7,500. Like for him to project, he projects lower than Cole Kmet from a raw point standpoint, just because their team total is just so low. And I don't know if Easton Stick is, I don't think he's the answer necessarily.
I don't think he's the answer either. I didn't even consider Keenan Allen, to be honest.
Well, I just said what happened. The whole point that I was making is that his RGV is so low that even if he was out, well, where do his points go to? I don't think it matters. I don't think you're still
right.
I don't think you're playing Josh Palmer or Quentin Johnston. I don't think you're playing any of these guys anyway, because it's not like Keenan Allen is taking away much as it is.
Yeah. I'm surprised
San Francisco pieces. What?
Yeah, I was just gonna say I'm surprised at how badly Michael Pittman's rated RGV also.
Well, I mean, he's 7,500. I mean, he a lot of times he's a value when he's like 6K or something. 7,500 is, I mean, take a look at this wide receiver position on the slate.
It's
right. Let's go to the all. Weak.
Yeah,
but I mean, on the high end, it's like, dude, why don't you want to play, you know, Tyreek Hill at 9,300? Mm-hmm. Diggs, I know. I mean, but I'm just thinking with higher team totals. How about the Rams wide receivers? Right, Debo, like Devontae Adams. I mean, Nico Collins projects better than him. DK Metcalf. I mean, you got guys, Ayuk, Rashi Rice, Chris Olave, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, T. Higgins. Like, do you really want to play Pittman over any of these other guys?
That's true.
For like 1,000 more?
Yeah, I definitely would rather play Rashi Rice and Chris Olave for sure. DJ Moore is going to be chalk again, even though he got banged up and busted last game, but he's way too cheap for that matchup, so he's going to be very popular play.
But I don't know how popular do you think Fields is going to be, because the Bears only have a 20.25 implied team total. I mean, we're taking a look at our projections here, sort by here. I mean, to me, you're probably paying up. I mean, Fields is 7,300, but for another 1,000, you get to Jalen Hurts. And I don't know about you, but I'll take Jalen Hurts on a team with over a touchdown higher implied team total that loves running him in on the goal line. Yep. Right?
The touch push.
Right, but even Josh Allen with a 26 implied total. I mean, just it feels like Fields may be in that like dead man's land, like. Even Mahomes at 7,500 is there. Lamar, 7,700. Yeah, maybe Fields projects slightly better, but I mean,
if Fields gets squeezed, don't you want to play him?
But I don't think he gets squeezed. I think it's more likely that Lamar and Patrick Mahomes are the ones that's like, oh, only because of DJ Moore's ownership, because of his price. So, like,
right.
I could see out of these, so just obviously first look.
Yeah,
I could see Hurts being way more owned than Josh Allen, just from the sense that I don't think like any of Allen's weapons are really values at all.
Right.
And then same thing for Lamar, like Patrick Mahomes, like Rashi Rice is going to get owned on this slate.
Right? Yes.
Right. Yes. So that'll increase Patrick Mahomes. And then DJ Moore is going to be owned on this slate. So that's going to bump up Justin Fields. It's like everything gets connected to one another. So to me, the guys that get squeezed are Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Right? And I would assume Brock Purdy.
Oh, definitely. I don't. Who's playing Brock Purdy at 7K?
Right.
When you could just pay more for some of these other guys.
Again, San Francisco
has such a high implied team total that I think the question on the slate is going to be, who would you rather have in your lineup as a one-off, Christian McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill?
Right.
Because our projections right now actually.
We ask ourselves that every week.
Higher raw point projection.
Yeah. We ask ourselves that question every week. Do you want to play C-Mac or do you want to play Tyree? You know, it's, I mean, in a vacuum, I definitely want to play C-Mac, right? You know, smaller field, cash game stuff. It's 100% C-Mac, but I mean, it's hard. I mean, Tyreek Hill has such a monstrous ceiling. And I think this game is actually going to stay close. So you should get a full complement of Tyreek, which is a pretty nice thing. You don't always get that with these Miami games. So that should be an incredible game. 9,300. I mean, we saw he was 9-9 last week. 9,300 does not seem like that horrible of a price. You really can't fit C-Mac and Tyreek unless you want to go like Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. But definitely rather prefer playing C-Mac in a vacuum.
Just from contextual value, Miami only has a 21.75 implied team total. So, I mean, typically we're getting Tyreek over 9K when the Dolphins are projected to score a full touchdown better than that. And the 49ers have like a 31. They're facing the Commanders. So, like, I don't know. I kind of prioritize Christian McCaffrey over Tyreek Hill just in those contextual elements. But, of course, yeah. He's Tyreek Hill. And he could go 6 for $1 million with 4 touchdowns and crush no matter what. I think I'm much more likely to play Tyreek Hill. Like, just looking from a GPP perspective, and we will be doing so on Friday. Kyle Murray will be here. We'll be taking a GPP look. Once we get ownership and injury news comes in, I mean, right now we're just kind of working our way around, kind of seeing what our first thoughts are. Mm-hmm. But if Lamar Jackson is going to be, like, squeezed, like, if we take a look at this Baltimore game, right? Let's turn this all around. I mean, you could pair. I mean, Zay Flowers isn't like awful, right?
Right.
Right. As a value, 5,600. Like, you could pair a Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers.
Or likely. Hilt,
or likely. Or you could put likely in as well. I mean, he's 4,600. That's not
I think that's fine. I think that's fine for likely.
The thing is here, you're going to have to find some cheap other guys because even if you play a DST, like let's put this together. Play a cheap DST, Falcons GST, Ravens, Giants against the Rams, even if you go like, let's say that low. And let's say, I mean, you're going to have to play some cheap guys. You have to play CEH, right? Yeah. Devin Singletary, I guess, maybe. Right against the, you still average remaining player style is 4,700. Find some other cheap receiver. I mean, it's doable, but to me, I would prefer to play Tyreek Hill in the game if this game kind of shoots out. And we've seen the past couple of weeks, the Ravens are really skewing a lot more pass heavy.
Yes.
And they're not doing the, we're going to run with 3 running backs and you play Lamar Jackson, and he only has 11 fantasy points while scoring 40 in real life. Like, I don't know. I just get the sense, Tim, that because DJ Moore is a better value and Rashee Rice is a better value, that in the 7K range, that Lamar just ends up being like 4% owned. I think Tyreek Hill ends up being 20% owned or something, but like, people would just play a one-off. I think people may be more likely to play Tua than play Lamar Jackson.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Yeah. That Lamar is going to be way higher on than Tua.
Anything else that you see on your first
look? I really like to get to some Kansas City onslaught stacks, like I mentioned before.
Well, you just your full narrative, Tim. Your full narrative. You just think the Chiefs. Andy Reid is pissed off. He's just going to go out and just stomp on someone's neck, and just go Mahomes, CEH, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Justin Watson. and just like play all of them and just
something like that. I also, I'm really curious to see where the Rams come in terms of ownership against this Giants team. You know, like the Cooper Kupp, the Puka Nacua, even the DeMarcus Robinson at 4-6, Tyler Higbee, 3-3. Kyren Williams' price is, you know, completely out of hand, but I mean, he's just like a monster. He gets 100 yards rushing every single game. So, I mean, assuming that, you know, the Rams control this game, Kyren Williams at 8,300, a lot of people, that's a pretty uncomfortable click, but he could easily pay off that price tag in this matchup. So I'm very, like, in terms of ownership, I'm very curious to see where the Rams come in for ownership, because if they're going to be kind of forgotten about, I really like getting to them as well.
Another team I think is going to be forgotten about essentially is going to be the Eagles. I mean, Jalen Hurts has the highest raw point projection of the entire slate of any position, 26.7. But the problem with the Eagles is that they're expensive. So, like, to play him with AJ, like, it's hard to double stack Hurts. And then with the running backs, you got DeAndre Swift. You got, I mean, like, you take a look at all these salary adjusted values. I know Dallas Goedert is back. I mean, I think I'm much more likely if I build a Jalen Hurts lineup, I just take the tight end position and I'm done.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Something I have no real interest in Swift. Like his ceiling is so limited because of Hurts's tush push equity. You know, like everything inside the 2 yard line goes to Hurts. So it's like Swift's really got to break some big time chunk plays and find the end zone to really pay off that $6,500 price tag. So I agree with you. I would go Hurts and then I'd go Goddard if I wanted to pair him with somebody.
Were you one of those donkeys that bet Boston Scott anytime touchdown scorer?
No.
I saw people were betting any Boston Scott anytime touchdown at like +350.
Did it open at 900?
No, I saw some people got it at +1500. I mean, that's kind of the, and even then that's probably still not
very
bad.
I saw some people get it at like 950 and I was like, that's still not a good bet. It's got to be like way over like 12 to even consider.
Right. Consider a guy that like literally may only get 3 snaps in the entire game.
Yeah, I don't bet a ton of props. I usually only bet like maybe 5 props every Sunday. I don't go completely crazy.
You don't go like me. I may have 150 and I have no idea what I'm even rooting for.
Yeah, I don't do that.
But no, but typically I'm not betting on any time touchdown score props at all. Unless it's some like 50% boost or some bonus thing or whatever. But yeah.
Can you play a Hurts naked?
Well, of course you can. He could be the highest scoring quarterback.
Yeah. And like none of his wide receivers like break the slate. Like I think that'd be an interesting way to go about it. You could play Hurts naked. I don't know.
Well, that's why my attitude with Goddard, it's like if you're gonna play a tight end in that range, like instead of playing a tight end one, like don't play Isaiah Likely there for 4,600 as a one-off. When just play Goddard because he correlates to Hurts. Like, that's how I kind of view the. If you're going to play a cheap wide receiver, and like, I'm going to play $3,300, whatever the hell, it's like you might as well just play Quez Watkins there. Like, if the difference in the projection is less than a point, like, then it's like, okay, if I'm going to play Hurts, why am I playing Hurts naked when the construction type, if you're playing guys that the construction type doesn't have any of the salary ranges of any of the guys on the Eagles, well, that's a different story. But, like, what's the point of playing a mid-range tight end that isn't Dallas Goedert when you're playing Jalen Hurts? If you're playing Kelce, you know, sure. Yeah, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about that. If you're playing some $2,500 tight end, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's not replacing that. But to play a one-off, just to me, it doesn't make much sense.
You know who's in an amazing bounce-back spot is McBride. At 5,900 after he busted last week. people aren't going to want to play.
He doesn't really project all that well in comparison to last week.
But he's still got 8 targets. Like, this guy's an absolute target hog. They're going to be playing from behind this entire game. So, like, if we assume that the Eagles are going to be ramming it down the Cardinals' throat, McBride, with his massive target share, is going to be extremely low-owned, I would imagine.
Hammer in the chat says, what do you think about the guy that picked 14? He picked 14. Did you see that ticket? That
I did. The $5 ticket, he turned it into $489,000.
Right. $5 on a 14-leg anytime touchdown score parlay. Yeah. You know the thing. You know what DraftKings Sportsbook should also tweet? The million $5 ones that look like that didn't cash.
Right.
Right. Then just keep on tweeting through all of that and go, yeah, we didn't mind paying out almost $500,000. If this gets more people to put 14-leg, like, you want to know how ridiculous the hold on that ticket is? Yeah, like, if you did the calculation, I guarantee you, if you did that calculation, the hold on that ticket is, like, probably somewhere in the mid-90%.
Right.
Like, it has to be. Right? For a 14-leg, anytime touchdown, because remember, anytime touchdown score in and of itself typically has, like, a 10 to 12% hold, as it is. Right? If you add up all the probabilities, it ends up being, 12% too much. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, you take that, and now you have to exponentially, every time you add a different one, you're making it higher and higher and higher. You're paying the juice again and again and again. So, 14 legs? Like, if someone did the calculation and told me that it was a 99.7% hold, I wouldn't be sure. It has to be some number in that range because... Imagine playing DFS. Imagine playing a DFS contest and the rank was 99%.
I know. So, like, Hammer wants to know. Hammer wants to know, what do you think the buyout was before McCaffrey scored?
It'll be whatever the 13 leg would pay out minus probably 2%. I mean, that's kind of what they do. Okay. So whatever the payout would have been for the 13 legger. Right. So what was because McCaffrey's anytime touchdown score prop was probably like what -200. I mean, it's not like he's typically high. So I'm assuming the cash out percentage would have been something like 200,000 or something.
I would have guessed that too. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I wouldn't be making those types of. I made a 4-leg anytime touchdown score parlay once. And the only reason
go ahead.
No, it's a bonus bet. I mean, like, you had to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, oh, Caesars is offering me a $25 100% profit boost, whatever the hell, but it's a 4-leg parlay on anytime. Okay. That's what you want to get. And then you find the best odds possible, you put it down and whatever. I mean, like, those are the only time I would ever do those types of things. It's like when you're giving me kind of free money or like rake free or hold free type of stuff, or maybe slightly negative EV, but my account looks nice because what idiot? I mean, I look like an idiot. If you didn't realize that was a boost, you'd be like, oh, this guy likes betting on stuff that has 35% holds. But once you include the 100% profit boost, the hold is only like 4%. Like, that's the only reason why I do those.
So good Do you think you can play Tyrod Taylor this week?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I'm just looking over the quarterback options.
I don't know who you pair him with. I think, to me, Tyrod Taylor seems like you'd play. That would be the guy to play in cash games. Like, if you didn't want to pay up at quarterback and you just said, I'm punting at quarterback, and then now I can play McCaffrey. I could play... DJ, you can play all the guys. You can play Rashi Rice and a lot. You don't have to punt anywhere else. Like, you're not sitting there with some $3,300. You're not sitting there with DJ Montgomery in your lineup, praying.
Yeah, I think you could run it back with Darius Slayton.
Well, that's for GPPs.
Yeah, not cash.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get out of here, since you're on, why don't we take a look at the NHL slate, which I've not looked at all.
Okay. It is
so,
a 14-game
what's the overall? I mean, we got a 13-game slate tonight, and we got a bunch of later games. 14 games. We got tons of
stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
All I can see from my first look, just looking at everything, is that we probably like the Kings.
Well, I like the cheap Kings. I like LA3. But yeah, there's so many different options. And I thought we were going to be doing NHL show today, so I was researching the slate, and this slate is there's actually some pretty good contests in the lobby too. There are so many different ways you can go. I would say my overall thought though is don't try to like get too cute trying to be quote unquote contrarian, because ownership really isn't going to condense too heavily on one particular team or stack. You know, like you can really just use the projections and play who you want and not worry too much about ownership, because like Austin Matthews, sure, he's going to be owned. Jack Hughes, yeah, he'll be owned. You know, Nathan MacKinnon, yeah, some ownership, but it's not going to be like out of control ownership. And there are tons of mid-range full lines that are like more of the balance build that you can play. Like this is it's a tough slate because there's so many games, so it's kind of like a lotto. But if you're like an MME player, this is like I think a really nice slate to spread out. You know, like you don't have to like be super aggressive on one particular team or stack.
Right. From the first look over here, I'm just looking at like Winnipeg. I mean, like these mid-range types, the Minnesota against Detroit. I'm looking at like the opponents. So it's like, I'd like to play the Wild against the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Winnipeg against the Blackhawks, obviously LA against the Sharks.
Yep.
Is Seattle still cheap? I mean, I haven't played NHL in a week, so typically the go-to cheap stack. Like I look at Seattle versus Calgary, and it's like, oh, this is typically where I go for a value stack on either side, because I think Calgary's power play is typically pretty cheap, and Seattle's power play is typically, unless they've raised the prices on these guys.
I don't think so. I gotta pull up HQ real quick. I'm still in football. Yeah, JWH in chat asked, so I don't have to play a one-off $2,600 defenseman who projects for 5.87 points. Exactly. This is not one of those slates where you have to do that. Like there are plenty of different ways you can go about building out your teams today.
I mean, one of the things that I do, Tim, especially on larger slates, and especially if you're playing smaller field contests, and I've said this before, but I've been downloading CSVs and looking. The most important position, I'm going to make a statement. Okay, I'm going to, a hot take. I've said this before in some regard. The most important position in your lineup in small field GPPs are defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down. You can find goals. Like look at how many games are going on. You can find goals from anywhere, right? You can play to whoever. The Rangers second line. It's like, oh, well, they're going to be 1% on. Yeah, but they could score a goal. I mean, like you can find goals anywhere, right? It's hard to find points at defender, right? Mm-hmm. So by paying down at defender, you're essentially limiting the points that you could score in a position where everyone has to roster two of them, and you're punting so you could get expensive players that need to score more than one goal to make a difference. When you're playing just like JWH says in the chat, if you're playing a $2,600 defenseman that only gets you 3 points, you bet Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, that line, you better get the 3 point bonus out of it. I mean, you can't just get one goal out of these guys. You can't just get two. MacKinnon can't just have a goal and assist. MacKinnon needs to have 40 points to make up for the fact that you only have 3 points in one of your defender spots. The most valuable points are those points. So to me, a lot of times I will just go by sort by point per dollar, and I'll just look at like who's not playable to me? And I go, I take a look at Troy Stetcher. Nope, don't want him. Right? I take a look at Darren Radish, Trevin Rimsdeck, right? Even Siegenthal or anyone that's not on a power play line, even especially in a 13, 14 game slate. It's like, I will look here and go, you know what? Point per dollar wise, I don't think any of these guys that are even like seven points are even worth playing. So I will build my lineups and I could go into lineup HQ just so I don't even consider them. And we'll go in with a custom setting and I could just go add custom rule, right? Less than one or at most zero or whatever defenders who have less than 8 fantasy points. And done. I'm done. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry if there's specific one, if there's one that has 7.92 that plays on a power play unit, then set it for that number or something like that. But it's like, I don't even have to work through like combing through these lineups that have 6 point defenders on this large of a slate. It's just like, I'm not going to play these guys. And the lower point total guys, even at 8, I'm not going to play them as one-offs.
Right.
Like, I don't see myself playing Ryan McDonough as a one-off
lineup.
It's not a Nashville stack. I mean, just like it feels like Hedman is a one-off. Like these guys that could score double-digit points are that. And I see so many people in the smaller field contests, like the 121, the 88, the 222, those types of things. 100 people, 100-man contests. And just jam in like they're jamming in like Boston 1 plus like Forsberg, like they're just like loading up on all these things, and then they have like a $2,500 defender and a $3,300 defender, and I sit there going, the way that they win is that one of those two defenders just happens to get a point that day,
right?
Just happens to score, and you look at their game log. And it's like their first goal in like 18 games, right?
Right.
And they get 2 points, and it's like their first 2 point game of the entire season. And most of the time, they're scoring like 1.3 and 3.5 and stuff like that. To me, if you could get 10 points each out of your defender spots, like if you preloaded my lineup, Tim, with 10K of salary in defender spots, so 2 5K guys, and gave me 12 to 15 each, I will take that and good luck, run me down. Whatever I could fit in the rest of my lineup, I could find the goals.
So you right? should play.
Like I want to make sure I get points at defender.
You should play Brock Faber and Victor Hedman then.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
Now, for large field stuff, I get it. Large field, you could, you know, who knows? 1%, 0.03% defender score, whatever it is.
Right.
So are there any other spots on this NHL slate? The slate summary comes out. We have content just to let people know. Click on that link in the description. Get RotoGrinders Combo Premium. Get $10 off your first month. You'll get all the expert survey, all the, you know, the updated projections, all the everything. But, I mean, is there any... I mean, I'm looking at this going, I'm not even sure what the... I know there's no super chalk. Like, there's like one team that everyone's going to play. But it's hard for me to even tell, like, is there anyone that's even going to be 20% owned?
No.
Like, I look at Matthews, McKinnon, Hughes, Pasternak.
No.
All these... it feels like no... Like
those guys are going to hover between 10 and 15 at most. I don't think there will be a 20% owned skater or goalie for that matter.
How about on the cheap end? Is there like some cheap value play?
LA3 is going to be popular because they're so cheap. They get correlation on the second power play. They're so easy to fit. So, you know, I'm kind of worried that if there is going to be kind of like a chalk play, people are going to go like maybe a Toronto power play stack with like the Kings line 3. You know, if there's going to be like a chalky type build, that might be it. You know, I don't hate that, though, because Toronto is in such a fantastic spot. And, you know, San Jose is just so, so bad. And LA 3 is so cheap. So, yeah, like, I think, you know, I'm just, like, in small field, I think that's a very, really, really strong way to go about it. In large field, that might be garner a little too much ownership, but I think they're all in a fantastic spot. Minnesota has some cheap pieces, or at least some mid-range pieces, like Kaprizov and Boldy and Faber, who rate out as very, very strong plays. Once again, at home, they should be relatively low owned. So I really like Minnesota tonight. And then obviously New Jersey against Columbus. Like, New Jersey's in an absolute smash spot. They have the highest implied team total. You can realistically play all three of those lines. So getting to like a New Jersey 2 is going to be like big time leverage off of New Jersey 1. You could even play New Jersey 3, who has some very talented skaters on that line. So getting exposure to New Jersey in MME is probably a profitable play.
You know what also is a profitable play?
Joining our Discord.
Right, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the pitch for the Discord? It's the greatest place on earth, right?
Yes, it is. It is. Unless Dean shows up and ruins it for everybody.
Dean ruins it ruins everything.
True. Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't show up that often, though.
He doesn't show up very often. I banned him, actually, so he hasn't been back since.
So what's the pitch on the Discord? I always promote it. I got to teach you.
Well, I mean, we're
why
always...
do people join? It's free, first off. RotoGrinders.com/Discord.
It's free, and we are constantly updating our projections. We will always be giving you the news right up to lock. Like, I'm doing that right now, like, you know, taking into account morning line skates, updating ownership, updating projections in real time. We are there all night long until the last game locks. So if you have any questions, myself or Dane, a.k.a. Moneyball16, we're in Discord 7 days a week, all the time. So if you have any questions about anything to do with NHL DFS, just message us. We're right there anytime.
And it's a friendly group of people there. There's seems like there's really no trolls. And people actually
are no trolls. Yeah, it's a really good group. Really good group.
So join that, rotogrinders.com/Discord. Get the combo premium package. We got NFL going on. We got PGA coming back, MMA. We got everything, right? Still got college football bowl games. We got everything here. You got the props and pick'em package that comes with RotoGrinders combo premium. Get everything. Get everything you can here at RotoGrinders by clicking on the link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. Follow Tim on Twitter at Tasteful Tides. Follow me at BlenderHD. I'll be back tomorrow with Will. We'll be looking at the Thursday night football showdown slate. Then Friday, Kyle Murray will be on, and we'll have a GPP strategy look at this week 17 slate. And then, Tim, you're looking forward to once NFL is over, a little bit more attention to NHL. Especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, those are the days. Those are the days for sure.
So hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. We got the Grinders Live and Crunch Time for NBA later today. We got Swolecast on the other channel. Tune into that. Tons of NFL content in between, you know, Christmas and the New Year's. All the Island Showdown slates. We'll have playoff NFL content. We got tons of stuff. So stick around here on the YouTube channel because I'm always here for you. Right, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern. Talking about all things you're thinking about in daily fantasy, props and pick 'em on Roto Grinders today.